Yeah, they had a bad day in church. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? Yeah. You know, we've had bad days in church where the sound don't work or something, but Ananias and Sapphira had a bad day that lives in infamy. All right? You guys good with that? They weren't, but we'll learn a lesson from their bad day in church. Are you guys good with that? You ever have a bad day in church where it just doesn't go well? Mm-hmm. What causes a bad day in church? People? Do people cause bad days in church sometimes? Be honest. Don't look surprised. When you get a group of people together in a church setting, you know, when people come together, guess what's going to happen from time to time? Somebody's going to say something ridiculously dumb. Then we'll get our feelings hurt, we'll get offended or whatever, and then we have to choose to be Christ-like and forgive and everything and move on, right? Sometimes people cause us to have bad days in church, right? That wasn't Ananias' and Sapphira's problem, though. They had a deeper issue than somebody saying something dumb to them. They had an issue of the heart, and we're going to get to that in a minute, okay? So I'm hoping today that none of you have a bad day in church, because it would kind of be bad, you know what I mean? All right? I mean, if you have a bad day in church and you get mad or something, that's cool, but I don't want you to have an Ananias and Sapphira bad day in church, all right? That would be... we'd be on the 5 o'clock news, all right? And we don't want that. Publicity is good, but not that type of publicity, all right? You guys ready? Here we go, verse 32. All believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom apostles called Barnabas. Does that name sound familiar to you guys? Okay, you're going to get to know him in a couple chapters from now, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Barnabas did a good thing. And I want to tell you, I want to stop right there for a minute. When we look at verse 32, the verse we started with, all believers were in one heart and one mind. What happens to a place when everybody's in one heart and one mind? There's unity, okay? And it doesn't mean that people don't have different political ideas or different ideas or different ideas on how the church should work or different ideas of how we should run an outreach or different ideas how we should do this or that. It doesn't mean that people don't have difference of opinions. You can be in unity and have total differences of opinion because unity is a heart issue that says, I love you no matter what. You guys understand that? It's an idea to love one another no matter what. So they were one in heart, and they were one in mind. They were in total unity. In church, that's what we need to strive for. When we look out across the aisle at each other, look at each other for a minute. What do you see? Are they just like you? Yes and no. They're uniquely different because every one of us has unique life experiences that make us into the people that we are, that make us approach things and see things differently than other people. And the thing is what you got to do in order to be Christ-like is you got to be able to love somebody unconditionally, even if you adamantly disagree with them. Because if you can do that, you can show them the love like God shows, the agape love, the unconditional love. If you didn't show that to people, what you'll do is you will cultivate an intimacy. Yeah, you will cultivate an intimacy with one another, and you will cultivate a unity with one another, even if you adamantly disagree, because you will have a heart of honor toward one another. And when you do that, and when you demonstrate that Christ-likeness and let the love of Christ come out of you, even if somebody is different than you, even if they have totally opposite ideas than you, if you can do that, you will cultivate an atmosphere of unity, and you will be one in mind and in heart, even though you may totally disagree. Do you guys see how that could work? Yeah? No? Maybe? Clear as mud? Okay. What I'm getting at, it's a choice of heart. It's a decision that you make that you are going to enforce the love of Christ in your life, and you're going to love somebody unconditionally. You see what I mean? That's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not something that comes out of our emotions. It's a feeling that we choose to operate this way. I may feel this way, but I am going to choose to enforce Christ's likeness into my heart, into my attitude, and I'm going to love them. And guess what? You're going to end up loving them anyway. Do you know that? Years ago, I worked for a man, and I did not like this man. I felt like this man was dishonest. And I used to pray for God to remove him from his position of authority every day. And I would pray, God, remove him, remove him. And God was like, absolutely not. Pray that I bless him. And I was like, he's already good and blessed. And he was like, no, you pray that I bless him. And then, and I shared this with you a long time ago. And so I started praying. I'm like, God bless him. And I'd be done. Now, were him and I operating in a heart, one heart and one mind back then when I was praying like that? God bless him. Were we operating in one heart and mind when I was praying, God, remove him? No, we weren't in unity. And I was be like, God bless him. All right, God, you told me to pray for blessing. So every day I begin my day. Okay, God, dealing with that guy, bless him. And then finally God was like, care to change your attitude? And I'd be like, God, bless him. So I changed my tone a little bit. I got a little bit softer and stuff. God bless him. I'd be like, God bless him. So I was talking slower, you know, because I think I was tricking God. But no, he sees the heart, you know what I mean? It was like, you really need to change your attitude. And so I'd be like, okay, God bless him. I ask that you bless him in his family. I ask bless you, bless him in his marriage. I ask that you bless him in his finances. And you know what God did? He answered my prayer. That dude got blessed. And the issue that I had with him at the beginning was, had a lot to do with his finances. And so I prayed, God bless him in his finances. And I mean, God just, I mean, blessed him supernaturally in his finances. All of a sudden, that dude got rich. And so because I kept praying, God bless him and increase his finances and everything, bless him and his family, over time, did that guy change? No, he didn't change. But guess who changed? I changed. And it started to affect my heart, and it started to affect how I felt about him. And then guess what happened? I ended up developing a love and a compassion for that guy that I never had before. And we were able to work together in unity. And then do you know what happened after that? When I became one in heart and mind with him, even though I didn't agree with him, I had chose to walk the way of Jesus and honor him anyway and love him unconditionally anyway. And guess what God did? He blessed me then. The thing that was hindering my blessing in my life was my attitude toward those in authority over me. That's what hindered my blessing. That's what hindered the increase in my ministry at that time in my life. That's what hindered a lot of things. It had to do with my attitude. And so I want to stress to you that being one in heart and mind with each other as a church is vitally important to see the blessings of God poured out on your life and in this place and in this community. How we behave toward one another is going to affect how God will increase our influence in this community. You guys understand that? Do you know why that's important? Because he can't send people into a place that is going to pick people that need help apart. And I thank God that we are not that church. We don't pick each other apart, do we? No. Do we? Not usually. 99% of the time, we don't. Once in a while, we might have a bad day at church. You know what I mean? But and say something dumb. But 99% of the time, we don't, because that's not the spirit or the heart of this congregation. But I want to forewarn you to guard your unity. Guard it at every cost. Remember what I talked to you about a year ago when I talked to you, when you speak over this church, when you speak over other people in this church, you're either speaking life and blessing or death and curses. And you got two forces listening to you. You got demonic forces and you got the angels of God listening to you. Whom are you going to side with and empower? Are you going to side with the angels of God and speak blessing and life over each other? Or are you going to side with demonic forces and come into agreement with them and speak curses over one another? What you say in the privacy of your home, what you say matters. Guard the unity. You guys hear me, church? Guard your unity. Be one in one heart and one mind. And what happened in the Bible, because they were in one heart and one mind, because they were in that type of unity, because they were guarding their hearts, what happened was it carried in over, and that unity carried over into every aspect of their life. That love carried over into every aspect of the life. It goes on to say in verse 32, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. It says in verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Verse 34, there were no needy persons among them. Because of their unity, because they were one in heart and mind, everybody in that place had their needs met. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that powerful? That's what revival looks like. And it goes on to say this. And I want you guys to understand this. When I'm going to read this next part of verse 34, this is not a precedent. It was a thing that happened on occasion in their setting. It says, for from time to time, those who own lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. That's awesome, isn't it? That was not a precedent. It just happened from time to time. People would just feel, I'm going to give this. And it's really amazing. Okay? Now, verse 36. We're going to get into a heart issue here. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, the cool thing about Barnabas is this. He was totally sold out to God. He had given his heart to God. He had given his life to God. He was totally sold out to God. And there are two types of people in the church. Not this church, but in the church corporately, okay? And you guys recognize this. There are two types of people in the church. There are those who are totally sold out to God, who have given their all to him. And I'm not talking about their possessions. I'm talking about their heart, where everything they do is about Jesus. It's not about making a name for themselves. It's not about lifting themselves up or working out of their pride. They just humbly serve, and everything is for Jesus. They've given their life to God, and they want to become more and more like Jesus in every part of their life. But then there's the other type of person who puts on a good front, comes to church, and wants to look good, wants everybody to think everything's good in their life, and they want to put on this false front and be like, man, I am doing good. God has blessed me. I'm growing in the Lord. Things are great. But deep inside, they're not. You guys know what I mean? They're putting on a false front. So there's two types of people. And Barnabas was the type that was totally sold out to God. And he humbly laid what he had down when he sold that field. He did it as a gift to God so that the church could be blessed and be able to distribute that to among those who had need. And the scripture records him as a great man because we know, we'll learn chapters later, that he ended up having an incredible ministry. But at this point in his life, he was basically an unknown. And he lays this gift down before God. He did it with the right heart, and it wasn't. So people would say, hey, look at what Barnabas did. He's a great guy. It was just that he believed in the cause of Christ so much that when he sold his field, he was like, I want to give all this to the church. And so I want you guys to understand, this message is not about money. It has absolutely nothing to do with money. It has to do with a heart issue. Okay? Barnabas' heart was to be humble and just give to the kingdom of God, so that the kingdom of God could be advanced. Okay? Now, chapter 5, verse 1, enters Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 1, it says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself." What's wrong with that? What's wrong with him keeping back part of the money? Nothing. Because it is his property, right? He owns it. Nothing wrong with his keeping back part of the money. Because it's his property. It's his to do with as he pleases. Okay? Remember what I was talking about with them giving, where people would sell their lands or their houses and give to the church? Remember that? That was not a precedent. That was just something that some people chose to do. So Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, and they held back part of the money for himself. And then they came before the church and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. What's wrong with putting the rest at the apostles' feet? Nothing. Unless you got a heart issue. And here's where the heart issue comes into play. Then Peter said to Ananias, "How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" Here's the deal. Ananias comes into the church. Barnabas humbly came into the church and laid what he had down because he wanted to advance the kingdom of God. Ananias and Sapphira sold that property, and what they did was they kept back part for themselves. Nothing wrong with that. But then they go into the church and they lay it down at the apostles' feet as if they were doing what Barnabas was doing. Do you guys understand that? They were trying to please people. They were trying to make a name for themselves. They were trying to trick the church into thinking that they were doing the exact same thing. They were making the same type of sacrifice that Barnabas made. You understand what they were doing? They were putting on a false front. There was nothing wrong with them giving to the church, but they should have said, "We're going to give this portion of our land to sale." But Peter said, he called out something that in Ananias' life. If you notice in that verse, he says, "Ananias, how has Satan so filled your heart?" So I want you guys to understand this. When Ananias came before the church, Satan had already filled his heart. When did Satan fill his heart? Was it when he chose to hold back some of the prophets? No. Satan filled his heart in his day-to-day decision-making leading up to this point. He started by being fake. Do you guys like fake people? No. Have you ever put on a fake front? Can I be honest with you? One of the things that I value more than anything is transparency and being authentic. Because we can't hide who we are in here from God. He sees your heart. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And one of the things that we try to foster in this church is unconditional love of where people are at in their life and in their journey with God. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict and save. It's the Holy Spirit's job to sanctify. You guys understand that? And so we try to foster an authenticity, because if we set up a culture in our church where people have to put on a false front, people will never grow. And we will raise up a generation of Ananias and Sapphiras where they put on a false front. You guys understand that? And early in my ministry, I used to get criticized because, for instance, in our old church, we had a guy that used to come to church all the time. And he would sit out on front of the church and smoke marijuana. Oh. What do you guys think of that? A guy sitting out in front of the church smoking marijuana. Were we trying to put out in public that we were a 420 friendly church? No. Our heart was this. If somebody is going to do drugs, I'd rather them be sitting on the front of the steps of the church doing drugs, trying to overcome their addiction,
and going after Jesus to the best of their ability than being rejected by the church and wandering off. You guys understand what I mean? It can be shocking for people when they come to church and some guy sitting out there smoking marijuana, all right? Especially if they've gone to traditional church. Did we celebrate he was sitting out there smoking marijuana? No, we didn't. Did we be like, man, he's out there smoking marijuana. Anybody else got any? Let's go out there and smoke some marijuana with him. No. Do you know what I did as his pastor? Well, he was already coming to church. Sometimes I'd go out and hang with him and talk to him as he was out there smoking marijuana in front of the church. Did I judge him? No. But the thing is I knew where he came from in his life. And I knew that from all the stuff that God has brought him to this point in life, marijuana was the least of his problems. All right? Now, if years and years and years and years went on and he was still sitting out in front of the church smoking marijuana, we would have a problem. You understand? Because the cool thing about Holy Spirit is he brings you, he loves you enough and fills you up. But he loves you so much that he's not going to leave you where you're at. He's going to change you. He's going to grow you and mature you and change your life. Now, years later, that man is a faithful member of our church. To this day, he's a faithful member of this church, and he's involved in an incredible ministry helping other people that were just like him. He's been delivered of all drugs, including marijuana. You guys know who he is. Think about it. You don't have to think too hard. We're live on Facebook. I'm not putting his name out there. Because for you out on Facebook land, it ain't none of your business. But isn't God good? We had a choice as a church. And we will choose from this day forward to continue to create an atmosphere where people can come in, where we're going to love them where they're at, and we're going to let Holy Spirit do the convicting and saving and change them. And I want you guys to understand, Ananias and Sapphira were putting on a false front. They weren't being authentic. Had they walked in there and said, hey, this is a part of the sale of the land, no problem. But Satan had already filled their heart because their whole life was making a name for themselves. You ever see people that go into places and they just want to be the show person? They want to be the person up front. They want to be well known. You know what I mean? You got there are actually people that would go to church and will give a lot of money so that they think they can have influence. Did you know that? They will use it because they want to be thought well of by other people. They'll be, and they will tell you, I'm a big giver. No, you ain't. They give 10% just like everybody else. What does the Bible say we're supposed to tithe? 10%. There is no big givers in the kingdom of God. We all sacrifice equally. If you're making $100,000 a year, your tithe is $10,000. If you're making $20,000 a year, your tithe is, what is it, $2,000? Sorry, I'm not a mathematician. But you guys get the point. $2,000 when you're making $20,000 is a huge sacrifice. If you're at the $100,000 level, $10,000 is a huge sacrifice. You guys understand that? It's 10%. There is no big givers in the kingdom of God. So you can't buy influence. And Ananias and Sapphira were trying to buy influence. They were trying to get people to think that they were good people because they were big givers. They're trying to make people think that they were just like that humble guy named Barnabas, when in reality, they were giving out of pride. You guys understand the difference? And we need to do a self-examination of ourselves, and we need to make sure that everything that we do for the kingdom of God is not out of a heart of pride, but out of a heart of humility, that we humbly want to see the name of Jesus advanced and lifted up, and we want to see the kingdom of God advanced and move forward. My prayer for you guys as you grow and as you mature in Christ is, God, keep us humble. God, keep us as servants. You know, I've had people come into this church over the years, and they would be here two Sundays, and they're like, I'm coming to this church, and I'm going to run for the board. And they're like, how do I do that? And I'm like, first of all, you don't ask for it. It's not a position you ask for. It's a position that is given to you. Because we will see your servant's heart. You want to be in leadership of this church? Clean the toilets. Amen. Well, that was kind of slow on the uptake here. You want me to get you guys toilet brushes with all your names? I'll get you each a personalized toilet brush. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You guys understand what I'm talking about, though? It's about serving. It's about lowering yourself, not making a name. Say, I will do what needs to be done. If I need to clean toilets for the kingdom of God, so be it. If I need to mop the floor, so be it. If I need to stack the chairs, so be it. It's about being a servant's heart. It's about saying, God, I'll do whatever it takes to advance the gospel. I'm giving you my heart. And if you want me to scrub toilets, so be it. And I can guarantee you this, if you scrub toilets, you're going to advance. You guys understand that? You want to be in leadership? Serve. Because I can tell you this, where I stand, right here, you guys think this is all that? What do you think my week looks like all throughout the week? It's serving other people. Ananias and Sapphira were trying to make a name for themselves. I remember when I went into ministry, and I'm going to tell you my heart. My heart was like, I want to get famous. I want to be a well-known evangelist. That was my heart. I want to do great things for the kingdom of God. And I just want to get famous. This is going to be so cool. You know what that is? That's young, dumb, stupid thinking. As I got humbled, do you know what happened? I realized it ain't about me. I realized that I can't do this without Jesus. I learned that in ministry, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. I learned that really hard the first time I took a church. I learned that without him showing up, I got nothing. When I was pastoring up in Iowa, you know, I told you guys about this. Whenever I'd write my sermons, I would sit there all week trying to come up with something. I'm not creative. And I'd try to come up with something. And then on Saturday night, I'd finally give up, and I'd be like, all right, God, I'm just writing this out and help. And I'd be like 2 in the morning before, you know, Sunday service is at 10-something up there. And so I'd give my sermon, and it would just fall flat. And then you know what I'd do? Wait for everybody to leave. I'd walk down the aisle of the church, wad it up, and throw it in the trash can because it stunk. And I realized at an early age that when I do things in my own strength, when I do things in my own power, guess what? It really stinks. I realized that I had to give myself over to God, and I had to humble myself, and I had to say, God, I need your anointing. I need you, Holy Spirit, to fill me up, because I realized that there's going to be two spirits that are going to fill me up. It's going to be demonic forces or it's going to be Holy Spirit. And that is why it's imperative that we yield our hearts to God so that our hearts don't get so full of Satan. You guys understand that? When we say, God, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior, we are giving God our life as we know it. But then he's going to start revealing areas in our life that we have not yet surrendered to him. And then guess what? We better get those under the blood of Jesus Christ. We better change. Because Ananias and Sapphira's problem was not that they sold a field. It was not that they held back part of the money. It was that they were trying to make a show of it themselves and trying to be compared to Barnabas so people would think that they are more than they are. They were trying to make a name for themselves. They were most likely trying to buy influence into the community of Christ. See, here's the thing. Ananias and Sapphira getting their hearts filled with Satan was a decision that started long ago before this instance in the church. It started a lot longer before that. It started in the decisions that they made. It started that they wanted to please people. It started that they wanted to look good. It started that they wanted other people to think well about them. I can tell you this firsthand. You serve God, you go after his anointing, and you start letting God move through your life, people are not necessarily going to like you. Do you guys understand that? People are not necessarily going to think well of you. People are going to sometimes think you're a little bit nutty. And guess who those people are that are not necessarily going to like you? It's usually Christians that are not sold out. Here's the deal. You've got to get full of Holy Spirit. You've got to keep going after him and asking him to come in your heart, because it will prevent you from having an Ananias and Sapphira moment. Verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, how has Satan so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? That is Peter telling him, it ain't about the money. It's about the heart issue. Ananias could have done whatever he wanted, but Ananias chose to make a show of it. And then Peter asked him, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men. Notice that he has not lied to men, meaning he was trying to put on a false front to the church. But you have lied to God. Verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Now that's a bad day in church, isn't it? Y'all think you had a bad day in church. That is a bad day. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. Standard church service, right? About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for land? She looked him right in the eye and said, yes, that is the price. Peter said to her, how can you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. That would be a church service one for the books, wouldn't it? You'd never forget it. Here's the deal. Don't be fake. Be real. But the thing is, all these people that we read about in the Bible experienced the awesome grace of God. Ananias and Sapphira had experienced the awesome grace of God. Barnabas experienced the awesome grace of God. But I want you to understand this. God's grace and his mercies are new every morning. But God, we cannot forget who God is. You guys have been learning this on Wednesday night about the fear of the Lord. You guys know that? In that series we've been looking at, you've been learning the fear of the Lord. God is our friend. He is our Father. He's there for us in times of need. But we also need to remember who he is. He is God. He is holy. He is just. He has glory that if we're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, his glory will kill us. When we read about this story in the Bible, modern day Christians get mad about this. They almost get offended at God for this. Why would a loving God do this to Ananias and Sapphira? It wasn't a loving God who did that to Ananias and Sapphira. It was Ananias and Sapphira's choice that they chose to lie to the Holy Spirit. And when you come into the presence of God and you're putting on fakeness, it'll kill you. What does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. Now, we don't see that often in churches anymore. You guys know that. And like I said, I use that disclaimer often. Okay? We don't see that often anymore because God's grace and his mercies are new every morning. But the thing is God's grace and his mercies and his glory and holiness is not to embolden you to sin. Do you guys hear me? It's not to give you a boldness to sin, to say, I can do this because Jesus forgives me. I can live a life of sin because Jesus forgives me. No, God's mercies and his grace and his holiness and his glory are to prompt you to repentance.
And repentance means you change. You turn from the evil ways. When it comes to light that you are living in sin, you say, Jesus, forgive me and change me. Change my heart. Make me more like you. That is what God's grace and his mercies does. See, the Bible says God takes us from glory to glory to glory to glory. You guys understand that? And from what glory to glory to glory to glory means is that we become more and more and more and more like Jesus as we grow, as we mature. I'm not talking about in age, but in our following of Jesus. As we allow Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, when we start to realize that we got areas in our life that are not submitted to Jesus, and we start to give those areas over to him, we become more and more like Jesus, and we get more and more and more filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we are more and more filled with the Holy Spirit, we start to manifest the glory of God out of our life. Not that we have that glory, but it's God's glory that's radiating through us because Jesus is shining on us and we are reflecting him to the world around us. Amen. His glory moves us to repentance and change. The thing is we need to have grace for each other and allow time for Holy Spirit to work in each other's lives. You all think you're doing really good right now? Yeah, most of you are doing pretty good right now, aren't you? In your life and in your pursuit of God. We could do better, can't we? That's all of us in here. I'm telling you, I can do better. But the thing is it was God's grace and his mercy that got us to this point. And so when we see somebody struggling and going through things, extend that same grace and mercy to them and allow Holy Spirit to do the work. Because what you see necessarily manifested on the outside of them is not necessarily the issue that God's working on. That guy I talked about that used to sit on our front steps at our old place, our original church building, and smoke marijuana. A lot of people were like, oh, in front of a church? Yeah, in front of a church, why not? We're glad he's out there because we know he's coming in just a few minutes when he's done. And we also know that in time, he's going to be delivered, set free, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And now today he works in a ministry. Awesome. But so I want you to understand this. We all got room for improvement, but let Holy Spirit fill your life. But when you see people that are coming into the church, extend that same grace and mercy to them. Now, 5-10 years from now, they're still doing the same thing, still sitting out smoking marijuana on the front steps of church. There might be a problem. You understand what I mean? Because I can tell you this. When I got saved, it wasn't a night or day difference in my life. It was to people that I hung with. They're like, man, you really changed. But I remember when I gave my life completely to God in November of 1991, I remember going into work the next day and saying, I just got effing saved last night. I told the people at work that. And they were like, that is awesome. Don't judge me too harshly. I was 22. This wasn't yesterday. All right? So don't judge me too harshly. I use strongly worded language to define my experience with God. All right? So you guys okay with that? Because I'm not telling people that now. I tell them I got saved, but I leave some words out. But it was a progressive sanctification. You guys understand what I mean? But I remember, I laugh when I look back at my 22-year-old self because I remember the guys that I worked with because I was a mechanic. And I remember the guys that I worked with be like, after 6 months, they're like, man, you have really changed. And I look at what I was doing back then and how I was acting and everything. I was like, I was a mess. But here I am, 48 years old, and guess what? I'm a mess. And when I'm like 68 years old, looking back 20 years on this day, I'd be like, holy cow, what a mess I was back then. You understand what I mean? So it's all relative. But the thing is God's grace and his mercies should prompt us to repentance and change. That means we're always constantly growing. And I want to challenge you, if you think that you have reached a level of maturity, then you are in deep danger. Because as long as we live and breathe, we should be growing more and more in the grace and the mercy of God. Amen? All right. So, don't be Ananias and Sapphira, okay? All right?
If you sell your houses and you decide to give the money to the church, cool. But if you hold back part of it, don't come parading in here and be like, here it is. You understand what I mean? It's not about the money. So don't let that be your heart issue in everything that you do, okay? Serve. Be humble. Don't try to make a name for yourself. Stay lowly. What does the Bible say? The meek shall inherit the earth. Doesn't it? What is meekness? It's a humbleness. When God uses you, and he uses you to heal people, when you lay hands on the sick and you see the sick recover, don't think you're all that, because it ain't you. It's Holy Spirit working through you. Amen? When people come to Christ, remember, it ain't you. It's Holy Spirit working through you. Stay lowly, stay humble, stay meek. Serve and serve and serve. Look for opportunities to serve. Don't try to get up here and preach. Start with the toilets. All right? I got toilets on my mind. Maybe somebody needs to clean the toilets in there or something. I don't know. Who's volunteering? All right, all three of you, but the rest of you, you guys are too good to clean toilets? All right, who's preaching next Sunday? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you each are going to take a turn preaching now. Good luck with that. You guys get the message, though. Stay humble, stay lowly. Don't make a name for yourselves. Don't try to be fake. Because God is still judging. You can't fool him. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. Cool? I'm going to ask for the worship team to come. Next week, we're going to go into verse 12. You'll like this. It's a little more uplifting. It says that the title of it is The Apostles Heal Many. Cool? So we're going to see where the apostles heal many. And this happens right after the Ananias and Sapphira thing. It happens right after the Ananias and Sapphira thing. The apostles heal many, and more were added to their number daily. So that's going to be awesome, isn't it? And about four or five verses after that, guess what we're getting into? Persecution. They get persecuted then. Isn't that awesome? So if you guys think that Christianity is going to be an easy walk, no, it's an up and down cycle of life. You're going to go through good times, bad times, because you go through life, okay? But it's going to be awesome, because through all these things, you're going to see God manifest his glory in all of it, and you're going to see God give them breakthrough, and God's going to use the happenstances of life to show how awesome he is and to show how he brings you through it and makes you stronger. You guys cool with that? All right, so cool. Are you guys enjoying the book of Acts? All right, let's pray. Will you stand with me as we pray? And then we're going to go right into singing just for a few minutes. And Natalie and the team's going to sing a song. Then we're going to pray, and then they're going to sing the closing song, and we're out of here. Cool? Cool. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for you right now. And God, I ask right now that you fill us up with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Take control of our life. God, in our language, this is a bad term, but we're changing it to a good term. We want to be possessed by you, Jesus. We want to be so full of you that everywhere we set our feet, we leak it out all over the place, and atmospheres are changed. People's lives are changed because we carry a measure of your presence. Lord, fill us up. And I ask, God, that you protect us from pride. Make us humble. Keep us meek. Keep us always seeking after you. Help us to make your name known. Lord, help us not to be fake, but help us to walk in a high level of authenticity. We want to honor you with our life. In Jesus, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And help us not take that as an attitude to embolden us to sin more. We don't want to sin more. We want to sin less. We want to become more and more sanctified and more like you. Jesus, change our hearts. Continue to lead us into more repentance. Help us to get the areas in our life that are not under your blood yet, under your blood, because we want to reflect you in an incredible way. Help us, God, not to do anything to shame the gospel. We love you, Jesus, and we give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.